The hits just keep coming. Not for the Yankees, of course, just more so for the Red Sox. The good news is we'll be talking about the fact that Rafael Devers, who is a Yankee killer, probably the biggest Yankee killer in the AL East, is no longer in the AL East. So, yeah, that's good news. But there's some questionable patterns afoot. And we're going to ask the question and answer it, hopefully. Does it matter? The Yankees can beat the rivals. Well, if you're good against, and you think about the numbers game, Gary, if you're good against, say, 27, 26 teams in a 30-team league and just the other teams you're just not good at beating, I mean, you think, oh, yeah, you can live with that. Except when are you going to see the Red Sox? When are you going to see, you know, this division? You play them more than anybody else. And, of course, the Dodgers, you're likely going to play them in the World Series if you see them again. So, yeah, tough one. This series sucked. It's the first swept, you know, first time the Yankees have been swept all year. But we're going to get into it. Gary, just pitiful. Really just pitiful to go from talking about this being the best offense in the league and sure looking like it to just the Red Sox had their number at every single turn. And the thing I think that's the most frustrating is that the Yankees were technically right there in every game, and yet it felt so far away.
Yeah, and I'm glad I finally got my mic turned on here.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't in my solo show. Didn't realize until after I was done. No one said anything, so it seemed like it wasn't a problem.
I was going to warn you, but I watched after the fact. So
yeah, it was tough. Yeah. And Alex Reyes with the super with the two says Devers to San Francisco. Guys, we have no idea what they're doing. We don't. And Rafael Devers, by the way, is the face of the team. He's what you fear, right? Gerrit Cole on the mound, and hopefully next year he's ready to go. That's the bat we were thinking about. And I know Roman Anthony and what they're projecting him. Number one prospect in baseball. He'll probably be great. But I think what the Red Sox just did is essentially the argument that all owners could have against any player, which is that, and you mentioned about Aaron Judge and that we're getting value back on this contract. Like, it seems like a underpay at this point, given,
yeah.
But we have a generational player. Rafael Devers is a great player, you know, all time great, but you know, you're not going to more times than not get your value of what you pay for these guys in terms of their long-term contract. So it seems like Boston just sort of talks themselves into the fact that we don't need any one player for high prize dollar. That's just what it seems like, and it's what they've done. So ugly divorce for the Red Sox and Devers, but Devers is joining a team in San Francisco that's winning games right now. They're close to taking a division lead in the NL West, and it's going to be tight. But as far as the Yankees go, and you just mentioned if the Yankees can win against 25, 26 teams in baseball, but they can't beat the three or four teams that we all sort of circled before the season started. What does it really matter what you did against the rest of those teams? Because maybe you do get into the dance. But if you can't beat those teams, how good are you? And that's the question. So it seems like the Yankees are really good at, yes, still beating teams over 500. They're still able to beat good teams in this game. It's not like they're just beating up on the A's. It's not that. And we've mentioned their record against teams over 500. It's still good. We've mentioned their record against in games of decided by one run or, you know, two runs or fewer. It's great. But Jake, how many series do we have to walk into where we say, this is it, guys, time to send a message? And then we leave the series having felt like we're having to minimize the damage, having to say it's just one of 162. All of those games that we walk away saying that, we said it, the Angels come into town, right, into Yankee Stadium tomorrow. And if we just beat up on the Angels, we're supposed to care less about this Boston series. So, Jake, long story short here, I feel like the Yankees are good against everybody except the teams we want to beat. I think that's as simple as it can possibly be. And they make mental mistakes in all the series you desperately want to win. Why is that? I would love answers. And you saw Ben Rice. We'll talk about it in this episode. Ben Rice gets picked off trying to steal third base with two outs. With two outs, he's taking off to third. Why? And then you have Aaron Boone staring at him saying, what are you thinking? And I really beg the question, how can you possibly, as a manager, point the finger at a player and question him as to why he's not sharp, why he's not thinking, right? Thinking with your head on straight, when a player who's even younger than Ben Rice made essentially the same mistake yesterday and you did nothing about it to hold him accountable. Nothing. I was actually texted today, is Jason Dominguez, is he out there? Yeah, he sure is. Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. There was no punishment whatsoever for not being engaged in the game. So as far as I'm concerned, no reason for you to get upset at any player if you're Aaron Boone. You're not holding anyone accountable. You just haven't. So the Yankees, if I had to guess, and this is my conclusion before I punt it back to you, Jake, the Yankees will play well against the majority of teams in baseball. Their record, in theory, by the end of the year, should be good. And we should be happy about it. I guess they're going to tell us we should be happy about it. But all those teams that you say, this series just means more. Why? Well, you're just going to have to understand the history of the Yankees to understand why. Boston, the Dodgers, San Diego, the Mets, right? When we walk into those series, we want to take care of business. I expect them not to.
Yeah, I got to ask you a question. I got to follow that up. Do you think, because, I mean, I have some wild numbers here.
Yeah.
AL East versus AL East standings. The Red Sox are 15-11, okay? The Yankees are 8-11 in the AL East. The Blue Jays are 10-12. The Orioles are 9-8.
Okay.
And the Rays are 10-9. So, you know, my thing here is, at what point or another do you look at this? And I mean, look, we give Boone a lot of credit, but is it Boone capitalizing against teams that don't have familiarity with this Yankee team? Because it feels like the teams that have seen the Yankees more than just the usual, they seem to have success against the Yankees. The Orioles, they know who the Yankees are. They know their brand of baseball. The Orioles won the series. Tampa won the series, right? And now you talk about the Red Sox, and they've just dominated the season series. And you could go back to the Dodgers. Different team in a sense, but still kind of the same essence. Dodgers saw them in the World Series, so they've faced them a decent amount of times. It's something to think about, definitely food for thought. But what are your thoughts on that? Do you look at, like, the fact that they keep losing to teams that have that familiarity with what they're doing? Do you think that has anything to do with Boone? And, you know, do you think Boone takes advantage of kind of just, oh yeah, you know, you can have video on us, you can have tape on us, but you've never played us before. Do you think it's more like that?
You know, I will say this. I'm not sure exactly why it's happening, and you can very easily point the finger at your leader, right, in Aaron Boone, and he is your leader, technically. I know we have a captain in Aaron Judge, but he performs, he plays. You know, outside of October baseball, he's been great. But if I really had to answer this, it's kind of like being friends with somebody who just doesn't turn in any assignments all year. Like, they don't do any study guides. They don't turn in the homework, right? You don't even notice that they study. You can't even find a time where they study and that they show up to the final exam. They show up in the final test and they pass with flying colors. There just happens to be students like that. They tend to get up for the big moments. The Yankees are the opposite. The Yankees turn in all the study guides, right? They're going to go beat up on the Angels. They play a Baltimore team that's absolute butt cheeks. They're horrible, right? They're not good at all. They'll find a way to scrap these games. They probably will. And yet, you look up at the end of the year and you look at all the tests where everything stopped. Games on Apple, games on Amazon, games on ESPN, and all the eyeballs, they turn off of all these other games and they look over at us and they say, Yankees, Mets, Yankees, Dodgers, Yankees, Red Sox. This is not the first time that the Yankees have had all eyeballs on them and they failed to deliver. By the way, easily, and when I say easily, I mean easily, people are going to be able to point to this just being one of 162, just a blimp in the radar that will be out of our minds. They will easily be able to tell us that. And they're going to be justified in being able to say that, Jake. So to answer the question, I have no idea what the problem is. All I know as a podcaster of this team, I watch them every day. I'm not some wizard here. I can point out the common denominator. The common denominator on this team is Aaron Boone. That is it. And yes, you can mention Brian Cashman. But how is it possible that your team is talented enough to have the third-ranked offense in baseball and you score 4 runs in 5 days? How? How does that happen, right? And the timing of it in a big series, so they call. And so when I answer this question, I would love our chat to answer why the Yankees show up for the big test and they fail. But if you look over the macro, over the 162, they still win games. So why does that happen? I guess we'll let them be the judge.
Yeah, it sucks because you get really good pitching out of your ace today. I thought he was really good. And, you know, it's just these are – I want to put, like, an emphasis on this. When you pitch your ace, you pitch your number two, you pitch even your number three. Those are games you're going into where the offense is feeling good, knowing, like, we should win these games every time we go out there. They give us a chance. The lack of runs scored was really frustrating, and it came down to fundamentals. Also, the Red Sox and Dodgers are kind of similar because there are some guys that, you know, you might look at like, yeah, I don't know who that guy is, or I'm not worried about him, but there's timely hitting. You know, there's kind of a youthful exuberance in a sense. I mean, they still have some older guys. When you look at the Dodgers and the Red Sox, they both pitch better than maybe you're expecting. They get up, as you said, and they have two managers that have won a World Series. And
Do we get up? If you had to describe the Yankees, do you feel like if they're, mind you, you can't just have big series every week.
I don't really feel like the Yankees get up for anything. I think they
certainly tell us, don't they tell us that, well, hey Boone, do you feel like this game means more? And he'll tell you the history. He certainly knows it. He played in it. He'll say, well, Yankees, Red Sox means more. Why? Well, the history of these two teams, it's not necessarily whether or not they're good or not, whether they're young or veteran. It just doesn't matter. It's these two uniforms. When we go head to head, it means more. Yes, older brother, younger brother, Mets, Yankees. And there's that sort of dynamic that people want to describe, whatever you want to describe it as. There's a rivalry there where we want to establish our dominance. They want to do the exact same thing on the other side. So having said that, when you go play the Mets, there's a reason it's on ESPN. It's on ESPN because everyone knows this is a bigger game than normal. It's a bigger game than Yankees-Baltimore. It is. It's better than Yankees-Anaheim. And regardless of what you think about the talent of each of these teams, anytime the Yankees walk into a series and you say, this just feels, there's that feeling that more people are watching this event. It just doesn't seem like the Yankees elevate. And I want to know where that elevation is. And by the way, Jake, and you're a major football fan. Obviously, you run a large football podcast. You know which football teams in your mind play up during playoff time and which teams play down. Teams like the Baltimore Ravens play down, right? And then you see teams in history like the New England Patriots, right? And all of a sudden, you see guys start to elevate. Some of those games, some of those teams that may beat them in the regular season, you see them in the postseason, in the playoffs, and they kick it up another notch. The Yankees don't feel like they're able to put the foot on the gas. And I feel, just my opinion, I'm looking at my manager and asking that question. Why is that happening consistently? We just won a pennant, but we also won a pennant against inferior talent. That's just the facts. So I'm not here to tell you the sky's falling, this Yankees team sucks. They don't. They're still a very good baseball team. They don't rank tops in runs scored and run prevention for no reason. Still a good team. But why is it that we don't have that gas pedal that a couple of other teams in this league have? I would like someone to answer that for me.
Yeah, and I saw a really interesting comment that's kind of how I feel. It's like, even though this team is better than last year, it still kind of feels the same in a lot of aspects. They lose games kind of similarly. And you can almost tell, you can almost scope out what losses they're going to have. I mean, no Yankee fan thought today they were going to win. And they haven't been swept all year. But no one had confidence in today's game. Nobody. Nobody.
I think I told myself when this day started, I'm like, it's Father's Day. I'll make it about me. This is my first Father's Day. I'm not going to get all hyped up about Yankees baseball. Yankees aren't winning this game. There's no reason to dive into it. And sure enough, I'm sitting here on my phone, and I've got the game playing. And I'm sitting here watching it. I'm just feeling, doesn't feel like there's any life. And Mark with the super, it sort of relates to this. Mark, we really appreciate the 10. I want to catch up here on our supers. He says, I think I figured out the sauce. Our biggest loss of the season is clearly Oswaldo Cabrera. Since his injury, we have no energy. Essentially saying that we don't have the same vibes around the field. I'm going to disagree. I don't think this is the problem. And this is why I'll say that.
With you. So I agree with what you're saying.
You're agreeing that it's not Oswaldo problem?
Well, can I also be honest here? And sure. I want to give the Yankees some credit. It was like, what, 4 days ago, 3 days ago that they were the most games above 500 they've been all year. So I'm not trying to be like
the Royals. Right.
Yeah. I'm not trying to be doomer here. It's just, you know, every game should matter. Like, I don't want to have any excuses as a Yankee organization. Like, oh yeah, we just can't beat the Red Sox. That's a big deal, because I hate to break it to you. Look at this team, that you could find them in October. You could. I'm not saying you will, but you could, and you definitely will see them probably down the road. So
very soon, yeah, at there, best.
There's no excuse to just say, yeah, I just can't. I can't beat my division rival that I'm going to see, what, 16 times a year? That's stupid.
We don't. Oswaldo Cabrera had a role on this team. Clearly, there are things that we lost by losing him to injury. We addressed those things. But having said that, let's not have revisionist history here. There were a lot of people in our comment section saying, Jake, Gary, the Yankees need a third baseman. The Yankees need some pop at third base. The Yankees need more consistency out of second base. The Yankees need more consistency out of left field. They need to find a place for Ben Rice to play. Remember, these were the narratives the entire past month and a half, 2 months of baseball. Now Cabrera goes down. He was our third baseman at the time. And now all of a sudden, he's the key and the driver. No, he is not. He is not the common denominator for the Yankees falling off a cliff. And Jake, I know you have some numbers here, but in mid-June and into July, we are not the same ball club that we are starting the season or even finishing a season. It's a trend. It's not anything that we're making up on the fly. These numbers are all there on Google. They're all there on Baseball Savant. All these numbers can just be read off. And we have to ask ourselves, is Oswaldo Cabrera in his absence, is this part of the reason why things are just leading one to the other? I don't think so. Jake, you mentioned that Royal Series. Coming off of a sweep, we find a way to get Aaron Judge off the field and rested for this series. You wouldn't know that he was rested. You wouldn't know that this team was pumped up for this game. It was poor mental execution, poor offense, poor at-bats. The process was terrible. The pitching was fine. Wasn't bad at all. They pitched well enough to win games. Our offense was terrible. So I don't agree with this. I don't. I'm not even sure if it's the players. I feel like this is a leadership problem. Whether or not you want to blame one player in terms of his leadership, or you want to blame the manager or even the front office, you got to blame somebody. And I'm not calling for someone's job, but damn it, Jake, like, you can't watch us lose to the same teams and then have us jump on the mic in front of thousands of people and say, it doesn't matter because we'll get back on the horse against Anaheim. I don't subscribe to that. I don't. I actually reject it entirely.
Yeah, and I think the thing with Boone is this is also why, if it was this easy to just win baseball games and be a player's manager and focus on like being almost like a friend, right? Because, I mean, everyone talks about it. Like, you listen to Jazz Talk. He's like, oh, yeah, Booney and I text. We FaceTime. You know what I mean?
Great. Like, can you guys text about accountability and knowing the outs? Can we text Ben Rice? And if you guys text, by the way, I like the idea in the premise. Mm-hmm. That we like our manager as opposed to disliking our manager. But not all bosses need to be our friends to be effective. You need to be able to hold people accountable. I'm all for Aaron Boone being a great guy, and I know him to be, but that's all a side gig that I don't care about, to be honest with you. You guys can go to the movies, you can do whatever you want. I don't care. All I care about is that when we show up to Yankee Stadium or we show up to Fenway, we go to Dodger Stadium, if there's two outs and you're on second base and you're not a speed demon that's guaranteed to get to third base safely standing up, you shouldn't even be thinking about going over there. Why? Because your manager knows I'm going to hold him accountable if he doesn't do his job and he's not locked in. You watched it yesterday. Jason Dominguez, not locked in at all, doesn't even know the situation of the game, don't know how it's possible, it's his only job. He's standing on second base. It's a major rally where we had an opportunity. He didn't blow the game for us, but it was an opportunity for us to save the game. He's not ready to play. No one held him accountable. Does he text Aaron Boone as well? I don't care. He's not held accountable, so these guys continue to make the same mistake. So, very frustrating. Again, I don't subscribe to the fact that it's a player thing. It's just get a better player and then they'll do something different. No, at some point you do have to look at who's penciling these guys in consistently. What's he doing about the mistakes? And I personally don't think he does enough. Luis Soto with the super and the five. And Jake, I want to know what you think about the offense. Just Boone aside, we'll put him aside. He doesn't take any at-bats. This is about our hitters. Luis Soto with the five. Luis, we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Says, concern about our hitters. If they were overperforming, then how good are we really? If Judge isn't hitting, we look pitiful. Now, to tee you up here, and I really want to tee you up, if you look at Trent Grisham is sort of having somewhat of a bounce back of late. You know, Ben Rice is having a major regression, right? He's not getting the numbers that we'd like to see. DJ LeMahieu's been fine. Aaron Judge had a horrible series this series. Cody Bellinger was fine. Jazz Chisholm did nothing, right? Volpe, Dominguez, Peraza, Goldschmidt, for the most part. I mean, today he had a knock, but in the series, nothing, right? So do you feel like this is a regression, or do you, like, what are you seeing?
I don't think it's any sort of regression. I just think that this team just has the Yankees number, and we see it. I mean, you see them against the Royals, and they were crushing the Royals, but this team has already seen the Yankees, and I also think it's a confidence thing. Dobbins went toe-to-toe with the Yankees and Rodon, and, you know, I know. But you see it, it's like, all right, well, now you're telling me he already proved he could beat him at Yankee Stadium. You don't think he's going to get up and get ready to play at his stadium? You know?
Did you just say that the Red Sox have our number?
Yes.
I would agree with you. Is there any other 100%. Teams in baseball that you can locate have our number?
Dodgers.
Mm-hmm. Any other teams? How about in division? How about Tampa when we were playing at Tropicana? Did we ever beat them over there, ever?
Felt like they never did, but, you know.
No, they didn't. That's the magical part. So, and the crazy part is that's where our postseason runs. Go ahead.
That's what coincides with what I was saying, though, is that is Boone that guy that, like, you know, again, if a team has the tendency to pick up on patterns, Boone is he that guy that, like, loses to those teams and then he beats the teams like, oh yeah, we just didn't have much of a scouting report because we don't really see this team very often. And I mean, I don't know. I don't really know the thought on that. I think Boone has done a good job of managing this team, like, throughout his career. I think he's been a good manager. But I've always said I don't think that the managers in the MLB are that great. Like, it's kind of like how Austin Wells is a top five catcher, mainly because the catchers in the league just aren't very good. Not, you know, trying to be a backhanded compliment, but just being realistic. And you go back and you look at last year, case in point, this is a team gets off to a really good start. But surprisingly, we just talked about this off air. June 15th comes around, today's date. And in Boston, they lose, okay, and it follows with series after series losing. The Yankees don't win another series until July 13th.
And who was that series against? Would they finally get? You said it was Baltimore, right? Before we went live.
Yes, it was. They secured on July 13th, and then they had that really dumb game on a Sunday that was on Roku. Never forget it. And
that's probably honestly who our new carrier should be. We should just be on Roku all year.
And they should just
put the June and July Yankees on Roku.
Oh my God! Remember Verdugo falling in the outfield? So yeah,
how could I forget?
How can you forget? So yeah, looking at that from June 15th, that was the loss to Boston in Boston. They lose the next game in Boston. Then they lose two to the Orioles, including a 17-5 beatdown and a extra inning loss. They lose two out of three to Atlanta. They get swept by the Mets. They tie the series against Toronto. They get swept by Cincinnati. They lose again 2-3 against Boston. One of those, of course, was an extra inning loss. They lose again to Tampa, and then they beat Baltimore 2-3 to go into the All-Star break. But yes, if history does tend to repeat itself, which it does, the Yankees, they better watch out, because it was a June 15th game in Boston where they lost, and it caused an absolute avalanche of a... I mean, think about this. Going into that game, they're 50-22. They end July, or they end the first half of the season going into the All-Star break, 58-40. So,
well, I mean, hey, was Oswaldo Cabrera healthy for that run?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So I'm telling you guys, when you see something that's a trend, you have to look at the organization in its entirety, every single piece of it. Who's playing third? Who's your shortstop? What's the narrative over at short? Who's at second? Who's at first? Who's in their contract years? What's the narrative? Who's in the outfield? Who's pitching? Who's in the bullpen? Who's managing? Who's in the front office? And if you look up and you see common denominators, those should be the people you look at. That should be the people. That's it.
They did beat Boston there last year. Two series in a row in the second half of the year. So if that happens again, I'm going to laugh. Oh, yeah, we just can't beat Boston at the beginning of the season for, like, no apparent reason.
It's like the opposite of Verdugo, of his splits. So, yeah, it just... For me, it's leadership. I think that's the gist of it. It's leadership. And Adam with the super, Adam, we really appreciate it. Thank you for the 20. Says, guys, it is concerning that Judge strikes out 9 times and made essentially zero adjustment. He was dominated this series, other than the homer, which was a big hit. We can't just gloss over that. It was clutch. And that's what we've been asking him to do, is come through in those type of moments. He did that. But overall, yeah, the series was bad. He says, honestly, we are not a World Series team with Jazz, Rice, Dominguez, Wells, Volpe. Good, but not World Series caliber. Now, I don't want to be too much of a prisoner of the moment, but I cannot ignore. When there are teams, and Jake, I asked you a simple question, which was, which teams have our number? Well, one of the teams that has our number is a team that we are more than likely going to see in the World Series. If you could snap our fingers and just let us skip the line up to the World Series, we're probably facing the Dodgers. And it just so happens to be the team who's A, more talented than us, and B, has our number, a mental edge. So, I don't know. You can look at this super chat and think, well, yeah, Judge made no adjustment. Aaron Judge is the best hitter of the generation. I don't care what he does for one series. You look up at his overall numbers, when you're hitting 380 plus with Homer, like with Jax, you're driving in all types of runs. You're scoring all types of runs yourself. He's going to probably make a bid for the Triple Crown, and I'm going to complain that he was horrible in a series. I'm not. Like, for me, I'm not going to do that. Jake, you may. I won't. But as far as Aaron Judge goes, you should be able to, on a baseball team where all these different players play, to have a horrible series or two, and your team can easily win, especially if you're on a great team. You know who did that? And Jake, you love to bring this up, and you're exactly right. Mr. Shohei Ohtani. He showed up to the World Series. Everyone talks about the mental edge and how much better they were than us. They beat us in 5 games. That's valid. Yeah, how did Shohei play in the World Series? Oh, that's right. He was horrible. He was not good at all.
Horrendous.
So if you want, and this is part of the reason why Adam brings up Jazz, Rice, Dominguez, Wells, and Volpe, those guys have the capability of having a floor at the Ocean's floor. They have an ability to disappear for a couple of series in, you know, in succession. So, Jake, what do you think about this, about the others? Because that seems to be what this Super Chat's about.
Well, I appreciate Adam with the Super Chat. I will say this. I don't necessarily agree. I think this team can 100% win a World Series. I think really what it comes down to is if you get there, then you have those isolated four games that you got to win. And I think anybody that gets there can win a World Series. And I think the Yankees, having already been to the World Series, means that they can win it. I don't think it takes a crazy good manager to win a World Series. I think Alex Cora is really good. I don't think Alex Cora is Bobby Cox. I don't think Alex Cora is Joe Torre. I don't think Alex Cora is anything like that. But he's a good manager, right? It's the same thing, I would say, with the Dodgers manager, who's I'm now blanking on his name.
Oh, Dave Roberts. So you're not high on Dave Roberts, but you feel like...
I never have been.
His level still
is capable. He better than Don Mattingly? I don't even know. He has a better roster than Don Mattingly had. I could tell you that much. But
yeah, that's for sure.
I don't actually think he's better than Don Mattingly. I don't think he's better than Buck Showalter. You know, those are like managers that I think are better or at least on that level. But the point being is that I don't think a manager can necessarily be the reason you win a World Series, but they can be the reason you lose a World Series.
Can they create the edge? Because remember, we were just talking about psychologically, it seems like coming into these series, we go to Fenway, right? These are big series. And Fenway's awesome. For those of you who haven't been there, there's an electricity there. It's amazing. Yankee Stadium in October, amazing. Dodger Stadium in October, great. Very entertaining. In San Francisco, same deal in October. But having said all this, when the Yankees go into these series, and you described it, because that's why I asked, I said, which teams have the edge? Do you think the manager on the other side is the reason that that edge exists, or do you think this is solely player-based? Because whichever answer you pick, it's either, if it's player-based, then this is on Brian Cashman to bring in better players, and if it is manager-based, well, you know the rest of the story.
Well, it's interesting, because I don't want to take anything away from managers, but see, like when you're talking about basketball, you're talking about football, you're talking about hockey, soccer, they're running plays. Baseball is the only sport of the main sports where you're not running plays. Like managers aren't calling the shots, so to speak. They are basically in charge of who is in there and who's not in there. And that's as simplified as it gets. Who is pitching? Who's not pitching? Who's playing second? Who's playing first? Who's DHing? Who's coming in to pinch run, pinch hit? The shift is a little like play, you know, okay, that's like kind of drawing up a play. But like you're not sitting there like Sean McVay where he's got his, you know, his mouth is covered, you know, with the play sheet. Everyone's seen it. Or Andy Reid with the, you know, this diner like menu.
Yeah, there's no Philly play calling in baseball. Like we get that. But if we continuously say that the Yankees cannot go into Fenway and have the mental edge, they just, for whatever reason, they lay down, regardless of who you put in pinstripes, it feels like the Yankees walk in. And this is my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think the Yankees are a far better team than that Boston team we just played. And by the way, they punched us right in the face, and they deserve this series. They deserve to sweep us. They earned that. Now, having said that, I have to say, well, if this team, who's not as good as you, they're not as veteran as you, they shouldn't be as ready as you. They're not even really like coming into this with World Series aspirations, not at this point. They're kind of fighting their way back into it. And yet, we started the series, and there were a lot of people that before the series even started said, oh, yeah, the Yankees are just going to lay down in Fenway. They're going to do that. And I looked at it and said, well, I mean, that seems kind of negative. Why don't we get them a chance to kind of throw that punch back? Like, I wanted to be, right? I wanted to give them the opportunity to go throw a jab. Let me get out of this. They show up to Fenway, sure enough, and they shrink. They freeze up. Oh, it's just one of 162. Okay, well, go get them tomorrow. Oh, hold on. It's one of 162. And then, Jake, I asked you about the mental edge. If it's not Aaron Boone, because he's not calling plays, right? Mm-hmm. It's not all these different, you know, variables that Boone's providing. then aren't we essentially saying that the players have to get better? Isn't it essentially agreeing that when Adams says Jazz, Rice, Dominguez, Wells, Volpe, doesn't that mean that those, that list of guys has to be better? And by the way, I like the list. I agree with you. I think those players are good enough. My issue that I have, I think it's who's pulling the strings. I do. I think there's a major problem in the locker room where you can say that for some reason, this guy is not getting them ready to go in these big games.
It's tough for me to say that because, and like, I get it. But when you get good pitching, like, I feel like the biggest impact on a game is managing in like the pitching department, whether that, you know, how long does your starter go, how to use the bullpen. And I do think they've overused the bullpen as of late. I don't think they really have a choice. And I'll go a step further. I think baseball is kind of screwed up right now roster wise because it has the same roster holds on it that it had 10-20 years ago. And the reality of the situation is that it needs to be expanded for bullpen because bullpen is way bigger than it's ever been. So I don't think that there's enough players. We shouldn't have teams having to call up guys to just pitch one night because we ran out of arms.
It is ridiculous because obviously when you mention the injuries, and we're not going to use this as an opportunity to make excuses because this is prevalent for every team in the league.
Yeah, exactly.
Every single team. Cruz goes down. Weaver goes down literally solely, and everyone's like, "Oh, how are we going to get outs?" What?
Yeah.
We're having to send guys down, put him on the IL, and just start going crazy. We should just be able to bring somebody else up. It is frustrating. And Diallo, who's been a member for 1 month, we really appreciate you being a member here at Yankees Unloaded, says when the Yes broadcast, you. And this is so true, gives the Audi electric moment to the opposing pitcher, you know the team is cooked. So I won't agree right now that the team is cooked, but it's funny. When they give it to the other opposing pitcher, it's not good. And that's exactly what happened.
I also have to say, I did not think Boston played well in the series at all. I thought their pitching was as good, maybe even not as good as the Yankees pitching. I think they got away with some stuff. And I thought their hitting was kind of mid. I mean, if you really look at it, they scored 4 runs max in game 2, right? 2 runs, 4 runs, 2 runs. So that's another thing here where I don't want to give them too much credit because I don't think they were that great either. And so that's kind of where I'm coming from, is that the idea of, like, you know, pitching a fit and, you know, kind of like, yeah, they're screwed and it's whatever. I don't like clumping the pitching in that argument because they held the Red Sox under 5 runs in every one of these 3 games.
So technically, to your point, Boone was able to help prevent runs, which is like the majority of his job.
So
right?
At that,
like,
point, okay, the grown men you would think would step up and actually score more than 4 runs in 3 games.
You would like to believe that, but then also you can also argue another aspect of managing is the mental side of the game, right? Not the hitting, because you're absolutely right. Aaron Boone can't walk in the game and make Ben Rice have a 5 or 6 pitch at bat. He walks up there, swings at the first pitch.
Reprimand Jason Dominguez for whatever the hell that was.
You can hold a player accountable for not knowing what the hell is going on. You can look at a Ben Rice and instead of just going,
also, huh? This lineup, after losing 2 straight and you're trying to fight off a first sweep of the season, this was an interesting lineup choice. Like, I don't feel like now was the time to give Aaron Judge like a DH. Like, I felt like they could have used Goldschmidt today.
Honestly,
Peraza playing over LeMahieu too was just confusing to me. Like, I understand it's tough. And this is where Boone is really going to show you what kind of manager he is, because he's going to have to get creative. They are going to be on the road. Do you know what I mean? They're going to be playing every day for a while. So I get what he's trying to do, but I felt like this was kind of, it wasn't a punt lineup, but this is one of the lineups where it's like, oh, well, Austin Wells has been swinging a hot bat. Maybe he should have been in today. Although I like seeing Escara. Peraza has not been swinging well at all. Why is DJ LeMahieu, who has a batting average just below 280, not in the lineup? And Paul Goldschmidt, So
were these your A options? Like, if you, let's just say tomorrow was a do or die game, right? Or let's say today was our do or die game. Would this have been the lineup? No.
No.
No, it wouldn't have. This lineup is an indication that they're looking forward. They're looking at this as a marathon. They're looking at this as one of 162, which, by the way, I said in my solo show, 2 weeks from now, if they beat up on Anaheim, they go play Baltimore, right? And they're doing both of these at home, and they take care of business. People are probably going to say, yeah, we sucked against Boston. They probably won't talk about it again until we're about to face Boston again. Then they'll talk about it, right? And then people will talk about Devers and that whole storyline. But as far as what's going on here, I agree with you. I thought the lineup made no sense at all. It just reeked of this is a marathon, not a sprint. And what it really reeked of is that none of these games, Red Sox, Dodgers, Mets, none of them are any bigger than another. And I hate that mentality. I think the other teams don't make that decision. I feel like they build themselves up to play us, punch us in the jaw, and then their days off, those DH days for Freddie Freeman or whoever else, a Mookie Betts, they do those against Cincinnati. They do them against Pittsburgh. And what kind of message doesn't seem like we do send? It. What does it send to you? Because obviously you watch this team. I forced you to do this podcast. Let's not forget. I asked you to do this. What message does it send to you? Because obviously I'm a diehard Yankees fan. I've been wanting to do a Yankees podcast for about a decade, and I never have. But now having watched this team every day, do you feel like, not just Boone, but do you feel like the entire organization takes these series like they're bigger than any other? Because I personally don't see that, but I don't want to speak for you. Go ahead.
Well, I don't see that, and I also think when you've already lost the series, I think now it's just, it kind of coincides again with what we were talking about, how this isn't a team that has five-game losing streaks. This isn't a team that has a bunch of five-game winning streaks, but this is a team that sees they win two out of three, and they're like, they'll take that. So maybe they were just kind of like, yeah, we lost the series, and they don't even look at it as a win. If they win, it's just kind of like, yeah, we lost the series. And these things add up, and that's kind of their way of keeping score, if you will, because you win X amount of series per season, and obviously you could do the whole, yeah, X amount of wins, but I think, honestly, I feel like they generalize it to series. Like, the way they talk about it, series never made any sense to me until I started doing podcasts, because, like, honestly, I never understood what, oh, he's going to win the series. Well, who gives a shit? Like, what does that have to, you know, all I was thinking, like, and this is just by my fandom, you know, before we started actually doing Yankees Unloaded. Now I actually like winning a series. I feel like it is, I think more like maybe a manager would. Like, I think,
well, do you
and I
think
both.
We would have complained about Aaron Judge? Mind you, we wouldn't have DH'd Aaron Judge probably in any game in this Boston series. But do you really think if we had won the opener, we'd won game two? And then all of a sudden we came into game three. The series is already wrapped up, right? Boston, they're going to trade Rafael Devers. Do you really think if Aaron Judge DH'd today, it would even be a blimp on our radar? Probably it's not even a topic.
We probably don't bring it up.
We don't bring it up. But the context of what had happened in game one and two didn't dictate the lineup at all. They're like, oh, well, you know, if we go lose this game, we already lost the series. Let's go get physically prepared for the series with Anaheim. Because if we win that series and we win the Baltimore series, they're not going to give a rip about this. What they're going to care about is that we're up 4.5 games in the AL East. At that point, that's what they'll care about. They'll forget this. It seems like the Yankees manage that way. I cannot stand it. And Apex, I saw this. I believe you sent this to me on X. I didn't want to use it, so I'm glad you super chatted it so we can use it here. Apex, we really appreciate the five. Thank you, as always. He says, first time in 100 years, that's a long time, Yankees score 4 runs or less in a series at Fenway Park. And mind you, Fenway, runs are scored at this park. This isn't Polo Grounds. At some point, we have to blame the common denominator. This team isn't World Series ready. Now, I will defend the Yankees to some degree here. It is June 15th. A lot of teams in the sport are not ready for a postseason run. If the postseason started today, they're probably getting knocked out a lot sooner than they'd probably like, whether they're not healthy or they're just flat out not in championship shape. So you look at teams, probably who's ready for October to start? Jake, I'm going to leave this short and sweet. I think Detroit is probably the only team in the sport that's like, let's start this thing now.
I think today was a great example of how this it all just goes in waves. Trent Grisham went 2 for 4. And honestly, it looked like he was going to go 4 for 4 today. He just was seeing the ball so much better than everybody else. That's baseball. That's 162 games of baseball. Trent Grisham looked astronomically better than Aaron Judge. Who looked like the Triple Crown guy today? Trent Grisham, not Aaron Judge, right? Aaron Judge was whiffing at everything. So the point I'm making is obviously I'm not like, Trent Grisham's the greatest thing. Trent Grisham superiority. Trent Bonds. Like, no, I'm not saying that. But it's a good reminder that there's almost guys that are on shifts. If you look at baseball, there's like five guys, or let's just say three guys in your lineup, because five guys will make Gary think about burgers. So we're not going to do that right now.
It already has. Yeah.
So three guys in your lineup, right? And three guys in your lineup are on like kind of in the same playing field where all three of them are hitting well. And then sure. There's like three guys at the bottom of your lineup at the same time that aren't hitting well. And then at some point during the season, the three guys that aren't hitting well magically hit well. And the three guys that were hitting well magically don't. So that is just how I look at it. I think it comes in waves. It's just like, you know, the law of doing things like a long time. You'll have your good days. You'll have your bad days. I mean, this is literally
when
Jazz's
shift starts. Yeah, when does Jazz Chisholm's shift start?
Well, and this is what I'll say. Like, there's 365 days in a year. You ever get up on the wrong side of the bed? Like, people talk about that. Like, you ever get up and you're like, yeah, I feel like I'm decaying from the inside out. Today just sucks. Everything sucks. I don't like the taste of the milk in my cereal, and it's not bad. I don't like the taste of water. I look outside. I don't even want to look at outside, and it's a beautiful day. You just hate everything around you. There's at least one day a year that everybody goes through that type of feeling. And that's kind of the reality of, like, happening in waves. Not like Aaron Judge is going to have days, especially because he's such a high. He's like an explosive player, because I would compare him to, obviously he's the best in the league, so I'd compare him to Josh Allen, who I believe is the best quarterback in the NFL. I do. Josh Allen is incredibly explosive. He's going to throw 50 touchdowns, but he also can turn the ball over. And he'll have a game where he gets sacked 8 times, throws 4 picks, and you're like, who is this
guy? I literally watch that. I go, oh, Josh Allen just sucks this year. That's too bad.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's at the end of the year and he's in a big game again.
And he throws 6 touchdowns and he loses because it's the Bills. But it's like, you know, how'd that happen? That's kind of what I'm talking about. So I don't get too much and I don't worry too much about Judge. I'm not going to say this team isn't World Series contenders. You could say they're not ready, but at the same time, no team in this league is ready to win the World Series. I don't care what anyone says. I think people are way too, and I've maintained that. I know they have AJ Hinch, but Gary, Detroit is getting way too overrated. I do not believe that they are this World Series potential powerhouse that some people are saying they're going to be. Just like the Mets. Remember, it wasn't that long ago. The Mets were struggling. Juan Soto isn't struggling. The Mets they have the most wins in the league. Yeah, well, fast forward 3 weeks later, and I guarantee you there's going to be a new team up there. Maybe it'll be the Phillies. Maybe it'll be the Dodgers. Maybe it'll be the Giants. Probably the Giants. But the point being is that this is how baseball works.
Yeah, I want to see what a Detroit does in a big series. You go to Dodger Stadium.
They had an opportunity last year.
All right, I want to see what it looks like. I want to see what the Yankees look like. It's not over yet. The season didn't end today. It's middle of June. It's Father's Day. They're going to play more of these big series. It's not happening these next two series, and we're playing freaking Anaheim. Hey, no one cares about this series. Nobody. So Having said that, the Yankees will have more tests, and we're going to see what those look like. We're going to bring them up here on this show, and then people are probably going to say, well, overall, they're doing fine. So what's the problem? But obviously, Adam here is bringing up the others, and he's mentioning Jazz. And I think this is more about the baseline and what are others. And you mentioned shifts, Jake. Mm-hmm. I think that's brilliant. I think it's real. The 1 through 9 doesn't hit all year. And the same goes for the Dodgers. Same goes for the Padres. And there was a stretch where the Padres just couldn't score a run for like a month. This was literally just 2 weeks ago. So for any Padres fans, I'm sure there's probably not many in here, they'll vouch for this being a fact. They couldn't score, right? And this is one of the better offenses in the game. They couldn't. So having said this, what was happening? The top four in the lineup, the guys like Tatis, Jackson Merrill, they were doing nothing. And if you look around baseball, the top four of every lineup, probably outside of LA, LA is probably the only team that's got enough ammunition in their top five where they're never going to slump. They have too much talent. And that's part of the reason why people have been so frustrated about this. I have no problem with it. I think if you can bring in talent, you should do it. And that's what I think the Yankees should do every offseason. But it doesn't seem like they necessarily do that. But Adam with the 10, we really appreciate it, Adam, says, we're talking about winning a World Series, and this is true, says, we're not good enough. Jazz is all flash and no substance. Rice, Wells, DJ, all average. Volpe, good. I'm glad he mentions that Volpe's good because I would agree. Not great. I would also agree. Be honest. We aren't good enough. So I'm actually going to agree with Jake before I punt it back to him. If we walk into October and we don't face some of the teams that are daunting to us, some of the teams that have a psychological edge, clearly, I think the Yankees can make it back to a World Series. Where my problem resides, and this is where, Adam, I'll agree with you. I will agree with you here. I do think if the Yankees play the Dodgers, a team that Jake mentioned earlier has our number, I think the Yankees have no chance. None whatsoever. But if a team just sort of upsets the Dodgers, which very easily can happen in this sport, and the Yankees sort of tee up opportunistic matchups, I think we can win a World Series. But is that how I want to go about the season? Is that what I need to happen for, oh, if we get to October and we don't face all the great teams, maybe we can do something? It's not how I wanted this to be, so I feel you.
Yeah. You know, Gary, it's interesting for two reasons. I actually, something popped up in my head when you were talking about that. And, maybe we're not looking at it the right way. And we do this quite a bit, you know, with Volpe. Like, oh, yeah, you know, if you look at him, he's the seventh hitter, and the numbers are actually pretty good for the seventh hitter. And he might end up knocking in 100 runs this year. You know, it's kind of crazy. But I want to say this about Boone. We talk about, okay, you know, yes, you should be able to be good against these teams. So I think it goes on both sides. On one side, we were talking about earlier, you know, is it concerning that Boone struggles against teams that, you know, say go up against him more often than not, have the familiarity? But on the other hand, we don't talk about the fact that maybe, you know, kind of like how there's a certain head coach that struggles, play calling in the red zone. Or there's a tendency where, you know, late in games, like we all know Doc Rivers blows late in games. Well, a little bit more than that, but we'll just say late in games.
Yeah, I was going to say Doc Rivers is just terrible. He's just terrible at everything.
He's a motivational speaker. But, like Thibodeau, right? Good example. He overuses his players. This has always been a thing going back to his time with Chicago. And then in the NHL, there's a couple guys, I can't remember the names, but they come to mind where it's like they pull the goalie way too early and they lose those games. There's tendencies. So,
what, you thought it was a problem that Tom Thibodeau plays his starters like 44 minutes a game?
In the regular season? Yeah, I know, right?
Derek Rose, they're like, can't believe Derek Rose got hurt. How often was he playing? Oh, he was playing the whole game.
Yeah.
Oh okay.
No rest, none. So,
no, but I see your point.
So my point here is that, you know, there's good and bad. And so we talked about the bad potentially for Boone, but wouldn't you say that that's a top five manager in the league if they're that good against just about every other team? Like, we're talking about this team where if they basically draw any other matchup in the World Series outside the Dodgers, they're winning the World Series.
Can I actually throw something up on the screen? So I'm going to throw a super up on the screen and I'm going to kick back up. I want to make sure I don't lose my spot here, but I'm going to bring up this super from Adam. Adam, again, thank you for the 10. We really appreciate you supporting this channel. And Adam mentions, and this is the thing, I completely agree with this. I'm not going to remix this at all. I'm just going to read it. Adam says, Gary, winning a World Series is about the intangibles, being able to overcome adversity, persevering, leadership, We do not have the intangibles. So when he mentions the key word here, winning a World Series, the end, right? When you read that, you can be a good team. You can actually be a very good team and describe your roster as exactly that and still not think that roster will win a World Series. There really aren't but two or three teams in the world today who can say, if we don't win a World Series today, it'll be if we do not win a World Series by the end of the year, it will be disappointing. It will be a disappointment. How many teams are there in baseball that have those expectations? I know the Dodgers do. I know the Padres, when they get back in October, they're probably thinking to themselves, we should have beaten LA. Mookie Betts said it himself. They should have beaten us. They should have. And they blew it. They couldn't score. They couldn't score when they really had to essentially knock us out. And now you look at the Yankees. What's the problem with the Yankees? Is it offense? Is it pitching? It's not pitching, right? It's really not even their offense. They can score. It's the intangibles. Do the Yankees do the smart thing in the big games? I don't think they do. So I think Aaron Boone, by the way, I agree with you 100%, Jake. Aaron Boone's a good manager. He is. But does he have enough of the intangibles to pull what needs to be pulled out of this Yankees team? I hope he does, because it benefits me. It benefits you. It benefits our show that is ever growing. We want this Yankees team to win a World Series. If we had done that, imagine what would happen to this show, Jake. So if you guys think we're rooting against that to happen, you'd be mistaken. So yeah. I agree with Adam. Intangibles matter here. It's part of greatness. You either have it or you don't. And people mention Tom Brady all the time. He's the greatest quarterback of all time, not because of his physicals. He was atrocious. At the combine, he was horrible. He's
that
slow.
That picture always kills me.
He's wearing whitey tighties. He's slow. He doesn't have a cannon. His accuracy was good, not excellent, still good, but there's nothing popping off the screen. Otherwise, he'd have been drafted number one overall, but he wasn't. Why? Because it's hard to figure out who has intangibles at a combine. You just kind of figure that out. So, yeah, Adam, I understand. I do get it. What do you think about the intangibles? Because I don't even understand how, but we're already at the 57-minute mark. I know you were like, oh, 25 minutes, but our chat's been great today.
Hey, we kind of let our audience dictate how, because I mean, if we just have super chats out the wazoo, then we end up talking for a while. I got to say this about Jazz, because I think Jazz is, I understand why people get on him, because like when he's bad, he looks really bad. I mean, the waving today, but coming into today, what if I told you he was hitting .345 in the month of June, had a .412 OPS on base percentage, a .586 slugging, and a .998 OPS? I don't think people realize Jazz has played very well since coming back from injury. And then he goes and he gets hurt again. Now, you can obviously, that's Jazz's fault, durability, whatever. But I think we have something here. I wouldn't be saying that if we didn't. And so I understand, yeah, like the waving today, but no one was good today except for Trent Grisham, like I said. And who is more likely, like really, let's fast forward to September. Who's more likely to be a contributor, Trent Grisham or Jazz Chisholm? So I feel like, yeah, I get Jazz isn't everyone's flavor. Is a very high variance player, because you're talking about a guy that is swinging for the fences more often than not. But I do think his approach changed. I think his at-bats have been a lot better. And I just think today he was just really bad at the plate. But so was Aaron Judge. So yeah. I don't want to put too much stock into it, but my point being is, like, I see that a lot, you know, the whole Jazz is all flash and no substance. I get he's flashy, but I got to disagree. I think since Jazz came back from the injury initially, he's been pretty darn good. And I think the injury, once again, it kind of forces you to kind of recalibrate again. It's the argument I made. I've been consistent about this. This isn't just because I like Jazz Chisholm. I've been consistent all year about how an injury can kind of throw you off. And, you know, it's almost like it takes time to get back and recalibrate where you were at. I think a great example of this is Cody Bellinger. This guy is absolutely just destroying, putting a steaming dump on everybody in training camp, or, you know, spring training. We saw it, right? His OPS looked like a video game. And then he starts off the season. He has a three-hit game. And you're like, okay, he's going to be a star in the Bronx. And then he gets a back injury. And he plays through it. And you start to see it. He's not very good. Then he comes back from the back injury. And he's still kind of, he's behind, right? Well, then, Gary, what happened after he was clearly healed from the back injury? He started hitting like crazy.
Yeah, he started to meander back to the means where he normally is. And by the way, when people talk about Jazz, and I actually understand fully when people hate to watch Jazz Chisholm, I get it. When he doesn't play well, he's not enjoyable to watch at all. He's just not. He has no impact whatsoever. And the glove is still good. So you try to, it's easy to ignore it. Mm-hmm. The glove's good. But I'm going to say this about Jazz. I think people are getting caught up in looking at his overall numbers. You see he went 0 for 3 today. He struck out twice. He didn't look good in the process. He's hitting 212 overall. But if you watched all season long, you'd know by looking at that 212 with an ops that's creeping towards 800 where that number started. So if you knew where his number started, which really, Jazz was a 170 hitter. He was hitting like 100 for a month and a half. He was bad, really bad. Then he got hurt. You mentioned that that's his fault. It is. But it's almost like watching the difference between getting no impact from a Larry Fitzgerald or a Odell Beckham Jr. Two different flavors of players. One player is going to put his head down. He's just going to hustle to the spot. And if he's not playing well, he's not going to bother you. You're just going to sort of look at the others and say, well, Larry doesn't have it today. Maybe we'll see if he can contribute later. But let Odell Beckham, right? He's got the blonde hair. He's got the faux hawk. It looks absolutely ridiculous. He was all over SportsCenter for 6 months about one catch, right? And mind you, I like Odell Beckham Jr. I'm a huge fan of his. But having said that, when you watch a player with that type of personality, somebody who's out there, right, and they're not contributing, let Odell Beckham Jr. have a bad 6 weeks in the NFL. Everyone will notice. Everybody. That is Jazz Chisholm. So I hope this turns around. His overall numbers, not necessarily how he's playing. I think he's playing fine. It's just easy to kind of pick on the others when we played offensively horrible in this series. We're kind of looking for somebody to blame. And Mark, this is a very good super. Jake, this is interesting. He said Casey Stengel benched Mickey Mantle for not running out of ground ball. I didn't know this, but he says that's a manager who holds anyone accountable, and that is true. If you bench Mickey Mantle, you'll bench your mother. Crazy to think that even happened. So yeah, again, I didn't know this happened. This is
an interesting take on this.
Yeah, so what's your take on this? Because mind you, I don't care how good a player is. If I see Aaron Judge, for example, and mind you, they're not going to run 100%. They're not going to be Johnny Hustle down the first baseline on every ball. But if you cost me in any way by just sheer laziness or lack of mental execution, I have no problem with a manager setting an example.
So I am a big believer in hustling. I always bring up Robinson Cano. I mean, you called him. Yeah, we always talk about this. Yeah. Like that bothered me. But at the same time, I always felt like this was such a gimmicky thing to do. Because it's like almost like a manager is so limited in what they can do in a game. It's kind of like an umpire. All you can do is say he's safe or he's out. So anytime you get a chance to actually eject somebody from the game, you take it. Well, at least these umpires. I feel like this is just such a gimmicky thing to do, though. You're telling me that you're going to bench Mickey Mantle because he didn't run out of ground ball. I don't care. I would have an issue with it. Trust me. I am one of those people that believes you got to run out. You got to hustle. But I'm not benching Mickey Mantle. I'm not benching Aaron Judge. I always hated this shit. I don't know. Like, maybe I'm different, but this.
So you don't think it's effective? Like, you don't think that it just, so Mickey Mantle it makes is your team not worse. Running. No, it. So here's the thing.
Yeah.
Essentially speaking, we'll use recent history to our advantage here. Ronald Acuna Jr., he's very clearly, outside of probably Freddie Freeman, it's neck and neck, but he's the best player who's played there the last decade, right? He hits a ground ball, and he's just not moving, right? He thinks he's out. He is out, right? He was going to be out regardless.
Yeah.
And the Atlanta Braves decided, we're going to sit you down. That is a clear message that, yes, we are directly hurting our chances to win today. I saw this argument with Jason Dominguez yesterday. Everyone said, well, why would you sit Jason Dominguez for not paying attention? We need him, and he obviously contributed later in the game offensively. I don't think that's the point. Here's what I think the point is. I don't think it's a gimmick at all. Do I think it's silly I even have to do this? Sure. But if Mickey Mantle can hit a ground ball, and let's just say he was on this team, right? And Mickey Mantle is jogging down the first base line. He doesn't even move towards first base. He just decides, well, ground ball to second. Guys, sure, hand it over there. I'm just going to walk back to the dugout. There's no reason for me to even take a step. No point. I'm going to start walking back. The entire roster is going to watch that, and they're not going to go, oh, Mickey does it, I do it too. No. But if they watch Mickey Mantle get yanked out of a game, what do they think would happen to them, a much lesser player, for doing the same thing?
I get what you're
saying.
This
is essentially your way of zapping No, I understand, but it's your way of zapping the fence so that a Ben Rice doesn't think he can do this. That's the only reason you do it. It's not really for Mickey Mantle. It's not for Ronald Acuna Jr. Ronald Acuna Jr. is going to be in the Hall of Fame if he's healthy. It's not going to affect their bottom line. But if you have your best player, and in that case it was Mickey Mantle, it's crazy in hindsight. I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
but it's really for the others. It's really for Peraza. If he hits a ground ball, your ass better be running. If you're not running, I benched him, and he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. So what do you think you should be doing? So I get what you're saying. Maybe it's not effective. Maybe it doesn't work. But I would kind of subscribe to the old school thing.
I would need to see numbers to show that this worked. I would need to see some sort of proof, because this feels like one of those, oh, I did it for show, and then you won't do it again. And also, like, think about it. We've watched Paul Goldschmidt haul ass down the line. We've also watched Paul Goldschmidt walk with the bat in his hand. So, like,
we've seen Jazz do the same thing. Jazz Chisholm, yeah. We talked on this podcast and said, oh, he hustled. He wouldn't have been safe if he wasn't hightailing it. He had no idea the ball was going to be booted. The only reason he was safe is because on a whim, he just decided to run. He ran and was safe. And then we've also seen Jazz roll a ball over to first base, and he looks like 07 David Ortiz. Like, he's not moving.
But you see what I mean? So I feel like they cherry pick those moments. It's not like every single time you see it.
Sure.
Well, it's like the same thing. Verdugo, bro, I watched Verdugo walk down to first baseline every single time he grounded out. And by the way, he grounded out a lot. So the one time, the one time where like Boone was like, he just took him out because he walked down to first base. I was like, what? He does it all the time. What are you watching? Like,
true. On broadcast, they were sort of like, oh, and in Verdugo, he just didn't move. But then watched. Yeah, Glaber did it. Same thing. And we just decided on a whim. Yeah, that day you're playing bad enough. It's a combination. I'm frustrated. You're frustrated. You're not running. Now I'll pull you. And then we did that with Glaber Torres. And then people mentioned what he did after that, right? So some people will say that benching was part of the reason why there was the rejuvenation. We talked about his on base, literally on a dime, went to 400. Now, is that the prerequisite to success? There's no way to prove it, right? It's an impossibility. Mm-hmm. But, you know, why would Gleyber Torres say, oh, I was benched, oh, I need to wake up, and now I hit 400? I get what you're saying. I know it sounds silly, but I don't know. It's just always how it's going.
I kind of understand what DeAce Avenue is saying. By the way, thank you for the super chat. Feels like this team lacks urgency. Games that are important to the fan base feels like just another game to them. To me, that falls on Boone. This is exactly how I felt, and I texted you this. This is exactly how I felt going to LA. Obviously, I was going for the Rams-Eagles game. Thanks a lot, Gary. Your team ruined my time there. But what was even worse is that I went to the Lakers-Nuggets game. The Lakers were up by 20 at half.
Oh, that was worse.
And they lost by like 30. And I'm like, and you could just see it's that moment where it's like, oh yeah, like LeBron. And I have so much respect for LeBron. I think LeBron's the GOAT, right? But watching, I'll never get it out of my mind. Watching LeBron like walk off the court in the third quarter and like just never come back. Like, it was just, they were giving up, and I'm like,
did it feel like you cared more than they did?
100%. I spent money on it. I brought Alex, you know, double X Alex in our chat. Him and I went to that game. So we were like, oh, yeah, we get to see LeBron and Anthony Davis, who's before Luka was traded there. And I cannot stand Jokic. I can't stand the Nuggets. So I was like, yeah, I was invested, right? Very right. similar to how the Yankees fans would be with the Red Sox. And to spend that money and, you know, think about the work that you did to earn that money. Think about how much work, how long it took for you to make the money to go and actually pay for said tickets. And now think about how they're making that 5 minutes into the game and then some. Like a minute,
making it five into the game. LeBron literally reaches down, and LeBron probably
he tosses the chalk up, and he's already made more than you in your entire life.
LeBron probably makes more a minute than this whole podcast will make in the next year and a half. It's silly the type of money they make, and they clearly don't take it as serious as like people who spend their hard earned money. And we'd like to believe that these guys are going to try all the time, but it's not realistic in this sport. It's 162. They're not going to run. But it's more about – I think it's more honestly about mental execution. I can get over like the physical stuff. Like, do I really care that much if Cody Bellinger's like sprinting down the first baseline on every ball? Or am I more frustrated if Cody Bellinger – and this didn't happen, so I don't want to make it seem like it did – but if Cody Bellinger all of a sudden on a fly ball out to the outfield, he just was unaware somehow on a ball to the track that there was one out and not two, and he just ran to the dugout instead and is now out instead of having scored, yeah, I'm much more frustrated with that. I need the mental execution. I need guys to be mentally locked in. I think that really is a prerequisite to winning when it matters, just focusing, being able to focus for long periods of time. That way, when the real test comes at the end of the year, you don't have to be sleepwalking like a zombie all year, just going through the motions and say, oh, now this is important in October. You'd rather have a baseline where you take it serious. So yeah, DeAce, yeah. I agree there. It doesn't feel like there's a lack of urgency when we win. It does, but it doesn't feel like the teams we're beating necessarily matter. So Kyle with the super says Ohtani is pitching for the Dodgers tomorrow. Obviously very happy for him. Want to see him healthy. If he pitches and he's still, you know, at that level, at the top of rotation, he's probably the best player on the planet. You can't hit like that, a Hall of Famer, be a Hall of Fame level arm. It's
obviously silly. Can't say I'm rooting for him. It's nothing against him, but
not against us. I'll root for him against everybody else, but not against us. And Mark with the five, Mark, we really appreciate it, says, on a positive note, and thank God we've got one, our pitching has been great. We gave up 6 runs in the whole series. Now let's score some runs, for crying out loud. Yeah, this is an offensive issue. Jake, do you have any remix to that? This seems like the offense just showed up and farted.
It's just weird because the offense, we were like, oh my God, like this is the, and now they're just like, yeah, the offense sucks. Like, so, all right, make up your damn mind, you know? It's I guess they'll bounce back. I'm not too worried about it, to be honest with you. It's more so the premise of having the Red Sox own you, just not being good in your division. And it's funny, don't look now, we were talking, oh yeah, the AL East is terrible. 3.5 games back now in the AL East. All right, the Rays,
just Tampa, right? Yeah,
yeah. The oh yeah, we're gonna get Brandon Lau. No, you dipshit. It's like the Rays are going to go and trade for some of the guys the Yankees want at the deadline.
Yeah, especially the fact that with all these new spots, like there's so many spots now to make the postseason. I get it. Like every team doesn't make it, but the extra spots make the teams like Tampa, the teams like Toronto, yeah, it makes them more likely to put their foot on the gas. They might not be better than you, but they're not going to sell just because they're below you. You need to knock them out. They need to be 12 games back, not even competitive. And that's not what's happening right here. And Alex Reyes with the five says they have interchanged series wins last 6 years. It was our year to lose. I do not subscribe to that at all. It might be an interesting stat, but no.
The pattern.
I don't buy into it.
You don't like the pattern play?
No.
Like no, the thing I did was... the other night. Well, Lugo, he's good, and then he's not good, and then he's good, and he's not good against the Yankees.
I can't believe you just thought about that.
Come on.
Yeah.
You had to know I was going to be right. Because he pitched great, and you were like, I mean.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to it being our year to lose. I subscribe that there's something at play here. And I'm not going to tell you guys that I know what it is. I told you what I think it is. But I'm not the Holy Bible. I'm not even in there. So this is
not the Holy Bible is a great quote. What is the series right now for the Dodgers? I want to see the pattern.
Yeah, what year is it? By 2036, they're like, it should be the Yankees' turn. By the time Ohtani and Freeman all retire, then Skeens will sign over there.
Oh my God.
It's silly. I want to know, Alex, and mind you, we're just having fun. We want to know what year it is is our year.
Oh, I think the Yankees.
Did you discover it?
The Yankees won like how many in a row? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then it was every other. For a little bit, right? And then the Yankees won 2 straight, and the Dodgers won 2 straight, so the Yankees are winning the next World Series. But I don't know, does this reset the pattern? I don't know what the freaking pattern is, but if it resets the pattern, then we could see another 5 straight Yankee World Series wins. I'm just saying.
Yeah, and I know. Patterns, they don't exist. And,
history does repeat itself, though.
It does, but not every other history. So then Zoki, Apple, interesting. With the two, we really appreciate it. It says, why is Houston playing so well without Tucker? The same reason they played so well
without
losing
Correa.
Anybody else. They lost George Springer. Who cares? We'll go win. We lose Garrett Cole.
Who cares?
See you later. Doesn't matter. We'll go bring in somebody else.
AJ Hinch is gone? Yeah, I still do not know who the manager of the Astros is, nor do I care. I don't care enough to look it up. I don't care.
Yeah, it is interesting. Winning. People ask this question, and this is a good question technically. How do you lose a future? And I'd say Kyle Tucker has a genuine opportunity to make the Baseball Hall of Fame. I think he's got a shot. Now, having said that, you lose a Hall of Fame outfielder in Kyle Tucker. You have Jose Altuve moving out to left field. You lose a future Hall of Famer in Garrett Cole. Garrett Cole will be in the Hall of Fame. That's a guarantee. You lose him, and somehow, some way, all of a sudden, Framber Valdez is pitching, getting big outs in October. Who are these guys? Guys, this is part of the intangibles. Do you remember the super we read earlier, intangibles? They have it in that locker room. They find a way. They lose Bregman, they find a way to win. They just do because it's in their DNA. They can lose. You can lose an arm. They grow it back. And that's something you hope that the Yankees can do over time. And certainly they maybe could as time goes on, but they haven't proven they can do that at all. I mean, to say that the Yankees have, you lose Juan Soto, they grow it back. No, the Yankees have to find a way to actually win something when it matters after having lost Juan Soto, after having lost an asset. They haven't done that yet. So I hope that they do. We skipped a member for... Brian's been a member for 9 months. We really appreciate that. That's awesome.
Skipping a 9-month member. Appreciate you, Brian.
No.
This was a bad weekend for the Yankees. The understatement of the year. Getting swept by a bad Boston team. I don't want to say Boston's bad. I actually kind of like the way they've built the roster. Now, I mainly like it for the future. But I think they're good enough to win these type of series. Wasn't good. And the mental mistakes that were made was very frustrating. Definitely. I mean, I think the base running, the youthfulness really showed up in this. And the thing that's so funny is the Red Sox are full of youth and they play with, you know, more urgency and they play with, better base running mechanics. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. So I get it. And we appreciate that. And Mark here, thank you for the 5. I legit think the Mets will have LA's number this year. If we get through the East, it will be very interesting. Let's hope show again July 4th weekend. All right, here's the interesting thing about the Mets. They're a team that, we talked about this, they got Soto, and then they didn't really do a hell of a whole lot after that. They got some guys, but like they didn't. So what's stopping them from making a big move at the deadline? So I kind of see what Mark's saying, and they're already leading the league right now in wins. But I mean, what is stopping this team? Because payroll, never heard of her when it comes to the Mets. I mean, you know, So
it's a matter really of if they think they're going to get over the hump, because there's still a major hump to get over. That's a major speed bump for anybody, regardless of what you do. You could bring in Soto. You can go trade for, say, the Mets can go trade for a Chris Sale, take him from the Braves. Right, that's not going to happen. But if it did,
well,
you can easily say, all right, well, then now that feels like the Mets are sort of teetering in terms of talent closer to where the Dodgers are, and if health kind of bounces their way, then maybe the Mets can say, we can beat this team. But there's a difference between coming into a series saying you can beat this team, the key word is can, versus doing it. There's a major difference. I've watched the Baltimore Ravens enter into the playoffs like 4 years in a row. And each and every time in the game they got eliminated, I told myself, they're better than this other team. Or this team, if they play this way, they'll eclipse this team. They can do that. But they never did. And it feels like they never will. We're not sure why.
Remember how the Ravens lost to the Chiefs in the AFC title game? Zay Flowers fumbled the ball at the one-yard line.
Yeah, it feels like they're just going to find a way to just not get over the hump. But part of the reason for that is because getting over the hump is difficult. It's hard to be the Mets and then get over the hump of the Dodgers. It's hard to be the Padres and get over the psychological hump of beating the Los Angeles Dodgers. That's why it didn't happen. It's difficult. It's the hardest time of the year. Yankees had the same deal with the Houston Astros. We couldn't get over the hump. We couldn't beat this team. And it felt like we never did. So having said that, yeah, the Mets certainly have enough talent to compete with anybody. The Dodgers obviously know if we play the way we can play, there's nobody beating us, but they still have to go do that. So yeah, I hope that we show at some point here in the future that we can punch in a big game, in a big series, and it doesn't feel like so far we've shown that. Yeah, Jake, let's go ahead and get to our ProfitX picks. And by the way, if you guys are signed up with ProfitX, if you do that, let us know so we can give you guys some credit. And make sure you download with the code YANKSU. Helps us out a ton. And if you're new here, I haven't even said this the whole podcast, make sure you guys subscribe and like the video. I didn't upload our last podcast into Spotify because I probably should have, but I didn't do it because my mic was off and the audio was pretty mediocre at best. It was actually the Apple speakers. I'm very surprised nobody said anything. But make sure you guys hop into Spotify if you guys want to listen to it there, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you get your podcast, it will be there probably within 30 minutes of our show completing. So we really appreciate all the reviews, all the downloads. We appreciate it a ton.
Yes. Yes, we definitely do. We have, Gary, look at this. Batter K's. I don't know why it's only DJ LeMahieu, poor guy. But
why are they picking on him?
I know, right? But yeah, now we have batter K's as an option. You know, this
okay,
app just
so
continues
let's just
to get
do
better.
Okay. So let's what's the value? I'm assuming the value is not there for our win.
No, I like the run line though. +100, that's profitable. The Yankees are winning tomorrow by more than two runs. You know what's funny? Since Michael K is gonna be calling the game. Where is he? Where's Joe Adell? I feel like Joe Adell goes off because like Michael K is always like, you know, he really just did not work out. Like he was supposed to be a star every time. Gary,
you love know, that storyline.
It is the funniest thing ever. I have no issue with either. I mean, I really loved Joe Adell coming out as a prospect in the draft. And Michael K is one of my idols. You know, it was a big reason why I even got into this. But it just cracks me up every time he brings it up because he always is like, Joe Adell was a big time prospect. He was drafted early in the first round and he hasn't really done a lick of anything. Like,
do you think he's aware?
I don't think he's aware because we've been called out for this in the comment section.
Oh, why?
Keep in mind. No, for like things, right? Like, oh yeah, like they have a pick on Volpe, right? We only know because we have a comment section. Michael K doesn't have a comment section. Like, you know
they should
I mean?
Have like, a YouTube like we should be able to leave super chats for Yes Network to pop up.
Yeah, no,
they
absolutely.
Make so much extra money. If I could just send in a super chat, like just send in $200 and be like, "Hey, lay off Joe Adell."
So yeah, Joe Adell, I feel like is gonna hit a homer or something like that. But look, Clark Schmidt, he's down to a 3.60 ERA. He's been pitching a lot better as of late. The Yankees are going up against Jose Soriano. Never heard of the dude in my life. So here's what I'm going to say here. I am going to go with, we got a right-hander on the mound. I'm going to go back to the well, Austin Wells, okay?
Okay. He's definitely playing tomorrow. There's no way.
He is. And he was hitting well. So I'm going to say Austin Wells goes over 1.5. And I'm also going to go with Jazz Chisholm, which it doesn't matter if he's right-handed or left-handed. He's got reverse splits. But I'm going to go with Jazz Chisholm, who, again, before today was hitting over 400 in the month of June. I think he keeps it back up. And I'm just going to leave it at those two and a Yankees win by 2 runs.
Perfect. So in the comment section, yeah, appreciate it, Jake. Please drop in our comments what to make of, I would probably say, our offense. Let's honestly focus on our offense. They're the reason we lost this series. They were terrible. They were just flat out dismal. They didn't score any runs. And I understand you mentioned Boston's rotation is like middle of the pack, maybe slightly underrated. They're certainly not good enough. They're not good enough to have put up a performance that they did this weekend. Over Father's Day weekend, it was a shame. It really was. Post in the comments how many runs the Yankees are scoring in this series total. I better see some big numbers, because if I see some low numbers, that means the Red Sox really did us in. Like, people are not feeling good about this team. And I hope you guys are confident about this team, but we do have to be realistic about what we've seen. This is a third-ranked offense that just crapped its pants on national television. Let's see what the rebuttal is. I need to see it. Show it to me.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see what ends up happening. I feel good about this series, obviously. The Angels are not good. They just got swept by Baltimore. That's all you need to know.
Oh, by the way, William won a wager, I believe. He said that the Red Sox were going to win the series, and it seems like they won the series. They swept us at Fenway Park. I can't remember who he beat.
Wait, Willie Downer won a wager based on the Yankees losing? No.
Yeah, it turns out if you gamble that the team's going to lose every time, you eventually do win. So, but yeah, Willie, drop that. We're due $500, apparently. Not sure who owes us the $500.
I need a
but
kickback.
I would love for the super chat of $500 to hit, so we can go buy that new iPad. I love the new OS system that they dropped, so that would be sick.
You have been talking about that, so.
Nonstop. I obsess over something, I buy it, and then my wife can't stand it because I don't even like the product anymore after I bought it. But that's my problem, I guess.
All right. Well, that's going to do it. Again, guys, be sure to hit the thumbs up button. Otherwise, YouTube, look at that, burnt to a crisp thumb. Thumbs up button. Otherwise YouTube is going to assume that you hate us. That's just the way it is. I don't make the rules. Also be sure to hit subscribe if you haven't already. And, also drop the comment. How can you help this offense? What would you do to help this offense? And, that's it.
Like the video.